Hi, I'm Sarah Lawson. I'm the owner of S&H Construction in Belmont, Massachusetts.
And I'm Bruce Irving. I'm a home renovation consultant and a real estate agent in Cambridge, Massachusetts.
Welcome to Builder's Notebook.
Remember the thing that we did about, oh, hey. How are you?
Good. Thanks. Jeez, he just cuts right into
Why
it.
Why not?
All right, doing fine.
We don't Let's have to get introduce to
it.
No, each other.
We
right?
really don't. It's eternal.
Is it? Ooh, that's
bad news. Yeah.
Well, guess what? Wait, remember the thing we did about leaving the nest and being first-time kiddos out in their world of mostly apartments?
Yes.
Right? Because it's only the best and most fortunate, not best, the most undeservedly fortunate children who move right into their own single-family homes.
Are we going to just veer into privilege?
Well, yes, let's. No, but how about the rest? The point is, after the after your initial apartment, maybe you get lucky and maybe you work and you save some money, and American dream, blah, 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 and suddenly you're an adult in a single-family home. Mm-hmm. Still not knowing what to do.
And winter's a-coming.
Yeah, yeah, right. It's like there's a whole round two of learning how to take care of your nest.
Yes,
and,
absolutely.
And that's what we're going to talk about tonight, or today, which is, I guess you could just call it winterizing.
Yes.
If you live in an apartment, somebody usually takes care of that.
Would hope. Would hope.
Whereas if you're in charge of your own joint, if you're in a winter climb, you can damage it by not treating it or prepping it right.
Absolutely. Well, so to talk on this topic, we're inviting back Ed Sullivan, who is in charge of all the building at S&H Construction. So he's the guy who handles the the team, the people, the technical aspects. So he knows a lot about building, and we're really glad to have him here to talk about how to make your house not have something bad happen to it in the winter.
We're going
to
learn a little adulting.
A little adulting.
Good.
Ed, thank you for joining us again. Actually, Ed was on our highest rated.
I know.
Basements.
A basement, a plan.
Exactly. They love it. Apparently, there's a real appetite for basement knowledge.
And
we didn't know that.
Ed is the first person to come back on the show.
So that's
You're a brave
right.
man, and we appreciate it. So this one's about, we were saying on the intro, this is sort of like adulting part two, which is when you're fortunate enough to live in a single family home of your own. You need to know how to take care of that baby come winter here, at least up here in the northern clime. So that's what we're hoping to talk about.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's think about it. Hit it.
Let me ask you, Ed, do you live in a single family home?
I do, yes.
Well, congratulations. what do you, come fall, what are you thinking that needs to happen?
Honestly, I mean, I'd probably say start considering where, like, frost-free silcox, that type of stuff, draining things, shutting off water. Cleaning gutters, that type
of
thing.
Okay, slow down there, big guy.
Yeah, and also maybe, I think he's talking too fast, maybe his wife does it all. Did you think about that?
I
do it at our house.
I don't think we invited him on for that. let us slow down about silcox.
Yeah.
Sure. I'm saying some people don't even know what a silcox is.
So that's your exterior water faucet.
Got it. That's things that stick out on the side of the house,
and water comes out.
And when you get, and they're sort of the interface between liquid water and an environment that wants to turn it into ice.
Absolutely,
and that's a dangerous thing.
Absolutely.
Because can happen? Let's get real graphic. What can go wrong?
A lot can go wrong if you don't turn those off. I mean, obviously, you get into the cold weather, it freezes, it then expands and cracks, and now you're in a foot of water in your basement. If you, getting back to the basement conversation.
Yeah. to be really, really clear, turning it off does not mean turning it off.
No.
Yeah. Okay, we're done.
Well, let's talk about what it does mean when you're turning it off for the winter.
Have to get the water away from that cold.
Yes. Majority of the times there's a shutoff inside, maybe a couple of feet from where the foundation is. Sometimes there's not, and you have to kind of go back and find it more. But basically, you don't want the water even coming close to that, and you also want to open it in the outside so that it drains.
Right. So you close it on the inside.
Mm-hmm.
Open it on the outside.
Got it.
So it can drain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are also silcox that are self-draining.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if I've installed any of those. Have you?
I've installed the frost-free ones. So basically, they just there's a little plastic piece that if it does freeze, it will pop and,
oh, is that
no,
how
and
it
not
works?
Crack. Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
You know, we actually have a system. Well, we have a system. We have an outdoor shower,
yeah.
And we have a drain back system there. And what that means is normally what gets you in trouble is when you turn off the shower or the faucet out where you are in the cold, that there's still water in there when you're like, doo-doo-doo, I'm done, and there's water outside the house, and then it freezes. You can do a method where it drains back so that it's there's no water in the cold part at all. It's empty there. And so what you do is you have drains at a real low point right close to the house. And you can actually keep using these things in the winter. And so that's a little bit of an aside, really, because we sort of created that ourselves. It's not like you can get it off the shelf, but the basic concept, if you want to keep using your water outside in the winter, just got to make sure there's none of it outside the actual warmth of the house when you're done.
And it says you have like a bleed at the bottom.
Just a bleed at the bottom. Thank you. Yes,
okay.
Exactly.
What else is going through your mind as you prep for the winter?
You know, definitely, I mean, I would say gutters just because of the fall. I mean, I live in the suburbs, so there's a lot of trees and a lot of leaves. So, like, that's something we want to take care of before the snow flies.
How come?
I just, on a general maintenance, I mean, everything's going to decay, clog. Then
clog.
You have water dripping down the face of your house. And, you know, there's a lot of potential problems that could happen with that.
Got it.
Gutters are the most important thing you can, I would say, the most important thing you can do for house health. Just regularly, you know, twice a year, four times a year, because if you've got things backing up, and of course in the winter, then they'll get all mushy, and then they'll freeze, and you just don't have the flow even on the warm days, which we do have here in New England.
And then actually,
very important.
If during that freeze, I mean, the main thing with the winter with me is the freeze-thaw expansion and cracking. So if your gutters get filled with ice, they expand, they crack. Now they're not holding the water they should be. Now water's dripping down the face of different, you know, planes of your house, causing, you know, potential damage everywhere.
How would a gutter crack?
It's like kind of anything else fills up with a moisture, water. It hits slow temperatures, especially if they're not cleaned. It sort of saturates like a mush almost.
Yeah, a mush.
Turns into a popsicle, and then it actually just would expand.
Pushes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Even though the top is open, and that's where some of the pressure could go.
Yes.
Right.
It also goes sideways, and the seams can.
Seems,
does it ever split
the
metal?
I wouldn't say instantaneously.
All right, got it.
Yeah, clean gutters, the secret to happiness.
Maybe
I'm
it's a different show, but you know, sometimes you wonder if gutters are really the smartest idea.
Yeah,
and
they
ways
have
to build a house.
Yeah, it's. I mean, we live in a modern house, and it doesn't have gutters. It has 4 foot overhangs, or actually 3.5.
Brilliant
overhang, and it's wonderful.
Yeah.
You need to put some sort of drainage down. You know,
the
in the
drip,
stone where it hits.
Line, yeah,
at the drip line, but it's great.
All right. But meanwhile, back
another
at the,
show.
Most houses with the gutters, clean them before the snow flies.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. What else we got?
This might not be the fall thing, but if it does snow, getting it away from all the doors and basically anything, if you have a deck that's not like with a set of stairs coming down. I mean, typically we have a thing called a snow step, which would be down from the main house down to like the deck, which would be like a 5 or 6 inch step. But if you don't, like my house had before I changed my deck over, you can get a lot of rot in your sills. You can get a lot of rot on the thresholds of the doors if they're wood. So actually kind of maintaining that space is pretty important.
I see. Because as snow builds up, it's up against the building. There's
an
inevitable thawing probably,
yes.
Even from leaking heat from the house, and suddenly got liquid water interacting with wood, and that's bad. Interesting. So clear the deck by how far?
Minimum,
as far as you can go?
As far as you can go, definitely, but I'd say a couple
of
feet anywhere, or at least a snow shovel's width at a minimum. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Should we talk about ice dams, everyone's favorite topic?
No.
Oh.
I've decided we're never going. No, I'm just kidding. I just want, before we move to that, just other snow removal moves around the house before we go up onto the roof.
Well, if we think about really people who are in their first house and haven't had a walkway before, you got to shovel it down to the concrete or the bitumen, or what do they call it here?
Asphalt.
Asphalt, sorry.
Yeah.
It's the Australian husband coming through.
Because it will.
It will, then the sun further melts it.
Yeah,
so if you don't do that and you get a layer of ice,
and
you're toast.
You're toast.
You're toast. The
okay.
whole winter, you'll be slip sliding away.
And you don't get your mail for a long time either.
Right. You just let it pile up. It's not worth the risk.
That's fine with me. Also, throwing the snow around, I know that the rise of high-efficiency heating equipment has led to vents being down at waist height around houses.
Yeah.
And they always put big letters over them. Do not block. But right. I think it's worth a little chit-chat because it's just yes. the kind of thing somebody
that's
would
That's definitely
not
worth
think
a chit-chat. Yeah, that's a hyper-serious thing to area to clear.
So talk about it.
Yeah. It's venting combustion gases, which can be lethal. So you don't
and
want
it's
to
also
back
intaking makeup,
yes.
makeup air
that's
as well.
That's true, too.
So you're basically blocking the breathing mm-hmm. of a machine that can cause carbon monoxide to be built up.
That's right. So it's not just being nice to your heating system. It's literally a safety problem for the inhabitants of the mm-hmm. house.
How clear are we talking about in terms of keep it clear?
I think they want to say, I'd say 3 feet.
Wow.
Yeah, just to be safe.
Yeah.
Wow, that might be overkill, but
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Easier.
Yeah.
Maybe not the best word.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've got to say that they're supposed to be, I'm not sure what code is. It's basically, I think it's like 4 or 5 feet or mm-hmm. something off the ground, mm-hmm. off grade.
I mm-hmm. have seen them lower than that for
well,
sure.
Well, this
yeah.
is my point, that they're lower, like in my house, it's lower. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, I mean, honestly, it's a foot off the ground.
Yeah.
So that's just unsafe. I really should have it changed. But mm-hmm. My backup plan is just making sure it's always clear.
Hmm. Yeah. I mean, in a sense, that's like backing your car up to a snowbank and leaving it running kind of thing. And we've all heard terrible stories about that.
Yeah.
So
it's very important.
It's very similar.
Very important.
All right. Now.
So should we talk just about shutoffs? Because even though we did shutoffs for Silcox, but just the, the topic of how to prevent freezing pipes. Let's do that first because doing the shutoff is when you hear water running somewhere in your house and you're diving into your basement to make it so you don't flood your house.
So you're talking about
preventing
interior pipes from freezing.
Well, yes, but the thing is interior is a relative term here in New England.
Of course.
Okay. Yeah. So sometimes there are pipes that go along the exterior wall mm-hmm. or there are pipes that are under a crawl space. So that mm-hmm. means not a full basement, but something that's just a shallow amount of space underneath the floor of some living space.
So what's the smart idea in those conditions?
Smart idea in that condition is to condition that space and not have it be...
Which means insulate it.
Insulate and actually maybe break through to the basement where there's some heat coming through.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I would... best case scenario, always get the thermal envelope outside of where mm. those pipes are.
Yeah, there should be, and what he means is
sorry.
insulation around where those pipes are running.
Yeah,
because
you
want to
push the freezing point outside
that's
of
right.
these places.
And I wanted to say breaking into the basement is sort of the... between the crawl space and I was picturing that it also had a basement because it's typically mm-hmm. like it used to be a porch mm-hmm. and all it has is crawl space, but then there's a full basement. So that's what Ed was talking about breaking through. Mm-hmm. But you can also put something like a fin tube. If you've got hot water heat in your house, you mm-hmm. can put like just a nasty fin tube under there that no one's ever going to see. So you have a heat source
yes. mm-hmm.
under there. That's a trick, and you can do it with electrical. You can mm-hmm. do electrical around the sort of a heating
tape,
element
tape,
around that. Yes, you can do
tape.
All that. The best thing is to do what Ed's saying, which is make it so the space is properly insulated. But sometimes it's a challenge.
If you put those split foam tubes around mm-hmm. the insulation things, is that going to save you against freezing
temperatures? It's going to help, but I wouldn't guarantee that.
Yeah.
Even we've done that several times where you put that around and tape it all over the place.
Yeah.
A lot of times we'll actually put heat tape underneath that insulation just to kind of belt suspenders.
Well,
it's not going to... The idea is the insulation is going to help, but it's still like in a freezing environment.
Yeah, so I mean, insulation has no heat
I think the answer is that's not going to help
safe.
Much because what
don't,
happens
don't
is
let that be.
Because when you turn off a faucet, unless you're, the water doesn't drain back, it's still in that pipe.
Yeah.
And so since, as you're saying, it makes it so if you have that insulation around the pipe, it'll hold the heat while it's going.
But once it's gone.
And it'll cool slower, but if it's overnight, it'll go down to whatever the temperature is.
What about the old-fashioned keep the tap open ever so slightly?
I do it.
I think it works.
It
does. Yeah, I mean, I think the idea is that there's constant water moving.
And
so
freezing, moving water freezes much less, much less likely
to freeze. Yeah, and there's not that like Sarah was just saying, there's not that stagnant hold there where it's just being blasted by the cold.
Mm. To waste
the
water.
I would say there are smarter ways to go about it than that.
Yeah.
But that's an intermediate just way
to
handle
it's a stopgap. But the truth is my husband and I had this debate about how much water it was wasting. And so, of course, I put a measuring thing in it and timed it.
Yeah.
And came to the cut. It was nothing. If you left it overnight, it was 2 or 3 gallons.
Maybe in an intense cold snap, it might be just that, as you were saying, Ed, a belt and suspenders move for those known outside pipes or those known at-risk pipes.
Absolutely. That's a good thing to know. That's like pushing your car and popping the clutch back when cars had clutches.
I'm going to nod and say, that's right,
Sarah. Did you ever do that? Push your car and run along and then jump in?
No.
If your clutch wasn't working?
No.
Oh.
But I love
my first car.
Have you do that?
I still drive a manual, but I can't think of why I would need to do that.
It's because the starter motor's not working. That's what it is. Starter motor's not working, and so you push it.
Is your manual from 1983?
Yeah. Okay, gotcha. Ice dams.
Sorry, I'm not done thinking about
you people. Stay with me.
My Mazda 323 was bitchin' multiple times, and it was awesome.
It was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, kids love it. What's that old guy doing? All right, so come on.
Ice stands.
4 years ago, 5 years, Snowmageddon.
More than that, it's 2015.
It was unfriggin' real.
Yeah.
So let us take a slow breakdown of what these things are. How do they happen? Ice dams.
Okay. Going back to 2015, I spent that whole winter shoveling off roofs, actually, here. And at that age, we were all hands on deck. Basically, an ice dam comes from cold snow on the roof, warm air from the inside, the roof not being insulated properly. Mm-hmm. You have the bottom part of that snow that starts to melt, then freeze because there's ice on top of it, and then it actually begins to build and build and build.
That wet water... call it.
Yeah.
The liquid water flows down hill until it hits something cold like the eaves.
The eaves, and that's where it
begins. And it goes, I think I'll turn back into solid.
Yes.
Right.
And it'll do that over and over and over until a hump forms.
Yes. Correct.
And on the backside of that hump becomes a reservoir.
Yes.
A little lake of unhappiness.
Yes.
And that's where the shit hits the fan.
Yeah. And also, just one thing that's interesting is that, you know, a shingle system, especially in houses that don't have a really good membrane under that, it's for gravity. Mm. So what's happening when you're making your little reservoir is that you're pushing, you know, that the water's going the wrong way.
Upside, up underneath the shingles.
Up underneath the shingles.
And it's that liquid water.
Yeah.
It's not the dam itself. It's the liquid water behind that hump that turns into a source of water that is going to find a way through the house.
And typically
down
the wall, because that's where the cold stops, right? Mm-hmm. So that's where your reservoir is going to be, right where the roof turns into eaves.
And so the havoc is obvious. Wet is water in places that it shouldn't be, inside the house, running along roof, ceiling top, hot.
Sheathing, so it's on the outside.
Into the insulation.
Wet insulation.
Bad terribleness. Scene.
Okay, so it sounds like talk to me about the way to prevent that from happening or guard against it when it does happen.
I mean, for one second, go back to to picturing what it is. I mean, if you picture like a roof is pitched for a reason to get everything off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So if you put a dam at the end of it and you actually saturate everything, that's never designed to be waterproof in that sense. And that's how that water creeps back up, because you've now created a dam. That reservoir is saturating, going underneath those shingles, freezing, upheaving, moving, wreaking havoc. And now, even though that the snow is gone, that damage is there. So it doesn't just end in the winter.
So then it's really done a damage to the system.
Yes, it has.
Interesting.
And then in addition to that, when that reservoir is leaking in, it can get into the walls and get into the ceilings. If you have electrical, you have insulation, you have just, board and plaster. I mean, it's
flooring.
It's a leak.
We had that winter. We had places that had hundreds of thousands of dollars.
So what do you do about
the damage? Yeah.
And properly insulate the roof. We typically do spray foam in that type of area.
If you were to spray the underside of the roof deck up underneath the shingles.
Roof deck meaning,
The roof deck being...
Well, people think of roof deck as where you have your barbecue.
I'm talking about the stuff that's underneath the shingles.
There we go.
It follows the pitch of the roof. Mm-hmm. It's usually plywood, but sometimes it's sheathing from the old days.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying if you spray insulation along that plane...
The tilty part of the house.
You're going to cause what to happen?
You're going to eliminate that. You're actually going to create that thermal envelope that is now separating the cold snow from the heat inside.
So the snow is going to be sitting on nothing but cold because there's no heat making it up to it from inside the house.
Exactly. Your heating system heat is being retained by that roof. you were saying earlier, like breathing, like a house breathes from the basement up through everything. So it naturally will radiate up through the roof. So if you actually can eliminate that, you actually stop the ice dam.
Yeah. Have you ever seen a roof where you look and you can see there's melting snow and you can actually see the rafters?
Yes.
Because the heat's not going through the rafters as much as it's going through the gaps between. And you're like,
okay,
ice dam city.
I'm a cheapskate, and yeah. I hear spray foam under my roof is, and I think, oh, that's going to cost a lot of dough.
Mm-hmm.
How much would it cost? How would you just put me on the planet? Can you give me a square foot cost? Can you give me an average?
I might be a couple of years out of date on this, but yeah. I would say carry $5 a board foot for that. You know, that would come in and square foot, $5 a square foot.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So I can't do this in my head. It's under $10,000, right? For a
Maybe just for the insulation alone.
Right.
Depends on what else is up there.
If you have an unfinished attic,
yes.
you're good to go because
okay.
that's almost all it will cost.
But you know that the damage done from these things vastly more than that outstrips
much
that.
More. It's more if you've got cathedral ceilings and you have to go and get finished ceilings. Mm. Yes. Yeah.
Okay, of spraying the underside or busting through your finished ceilings, what else can you do to keep heat from getting up in there causing havoc? Is there anything?
Insulation on the outside.
Yeah, I was going to say, if you're going to re-roof.
You should seriously consider putting a layer of closed cell insulation. They come in big sheets.
Mm-hmm.
The thing to keep in mind is you've changed how thick your roof is, so you've got those nice little pieces of trim going around the outside of your roof looking all pretty. They're now too short.
The eave edge has to be modified.
Okay, so there's cost in that, but that's the best one because then you're going over those rafters, right? So
there's not going to be any thermal bridge.
Not going to be a thermal bridge, which is where you've got your rafters where you're able to let,
How about those attic stair insulation boxes? Do those help?
I have one in my house.
I
don't think it helps that much, but it helps. You know, I mean,
okay.
I think it's anything where you can kind of
keep the heat down.
Keep the heat down. Yeah, exactly.
But it sounds like these are
if you have an unfinished attic, you could also, and actually, I guess this would be a little less expensive. I wouldn't recommend it, but you could insulate the floor.
but we're putting it on
we're
the
putting
podcast,
it out there anyway.
So go ahead.
Well, it is. I mean, it is cheaper. If you were doing, my attic's only 4 feet high, I'm never going to, be up here and finish it. Let's just put some sort of insulation in the floor. That by itself would make a huge difference.
Yeah.
Of course, I don't actually, now I'm going to say bad things about it because then in the summer, you've got this really hot box on top of your house, and it's so not the best way. But
if you have air conditioning equipment up there, it's baking away.
And you're actually not allowed to do it if you have by code. If you have air conditioning up there, the code requires that you're putting the thermal envelope outside of any HVAC equipment.
Oops.
Yeah.
I didn't do that.
Oh.
My
insulate your roof.
Is. Okay, I think I will.
Oh my gosh.
Is there money available for getting somebody to come in and spray the underside of a roof deck?
MassSave
would do that.
They do have dual programs. I don't know if they'll do it, but they'll definitely take
the edge off. Maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. It's the best bang for the buck, honestly, in construction.
Okay.
It's the best thing ever. You're going to be lying in your house in the summer, going like, "Oh my god,
this
temperature's so steady."
Noted.
Love
cool.
it.
All right. Cool.
Yeah. Very important.
I just actually sprayed my house, so yeah.
Okay, so but if you haven't had the foresight, or if you've been too cheap to do the things that we were just talking about, and the dreaded ice dams reappear this winter. What next? What do you do?
I mean, it's really just clearing the snow off. I mean, there's snow rakes. You can get it like Home Depot.
So the idea is to remove the source of that liquid water above the ice dam as soon as you possibly can.
As soon as you can. I mean, we've actually dealt things where we've used like steam pressure washers and hot water pressure washers to do it. It's not easy, but it's something that just kind of, I mean, the thing is once, if you're in January, February, and it is just a solid block of ice up there, I wouldn't really chip away at it because you're going to do more damage to the roof again. So
it's risk to the roof.
There's sort of a best thing to do is to make them not happen. So again, if it's chronic or an area that's going to happen, if it's happened before, every time it snows, I'd probably just get a snow rake and take it off.
And if you're actually going up on your roof, you need to be tied in. And that's something you can do, not go in your roof, particularly in the winter, without a harness that's anchored to, there are ways of anchoring it like I don't even want to talk about it. But yeah, basically, don't just go up there and slip slide away because it's super dangerous.
And the thing about the snow rig, I just said that those can go like 25 feet. They're very long poles with like a essentially
and
a
super
shovel,
lightweight.
Super lightweight.
Edge,
yeah.
I remember going and getting these salt bombs, and people and people were throwing pantyhose full of road salt, just anything to land across or upstream of these dams. Does any of that work?
Does it work?
If you're a really good aim,
it works. it works, but I think it's the same thing if you're throwing like rock salt on your front steps. I mean, it's a surface that's not meant to have like a lot of like, you know, calcium chloride on
it. I got
it.
You.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, you got to do what you got to do sometimes, I guess. But yeah.
Do you have a baseball player in your family?
How about
it's a great
the heated edge school of thought? If you were to run heat tape of some sort.
So there are heat wires that we can run into gutters, and they do have, I'm blanking on the term, but they do have like little like tabs that you can put on the roof where you can actually kind of snake that coil around, specifically around the eaves. We've done that too in the past.
Mm-hmm.
There's sort of like a point of failure for me on that though, where I don't, it's a better than nothing, but I would be afraid that like a GFI would go and when it's snowing or you're not home.
Course.
I mean, there are more factors, but it does work.
Okay. And also we've had customers who've had it where it's been on all winter and there's a large electric bill. Like you have to make it so it's turning on and off correctly and all this stuff. I don't like it. I have to say, because it's just so, you know, if you're doing it wrong and you're creating liquid in a place where you've, you know, right next to it, you've done it wrong. And so then it's coming down, you're making it worse.
Yeah,
so it's to me, I don't, it's just too much of a hack in my mind. But I guess if I, you know, had missed the window, I couldn't reach the, I don't know, because you got to do that. You can't really do that in the winter either. You got to think ahead on that one too.
I just don't
like them. We see a lot of failures and problems.
Okay, fair.
Also, if it gets, I mean, you wouldn't be taking them up and putting them down every year. So,
no.
For instance, it's up there. If it gets a nick in it at all, the whole thing goes.
Yeah,
right.
And so, squirrels love chewing on things.
Yeah.
Well, if you're lucky enough to own a summer home that needs to be shut down, what are some things to think about there?
I can speak to this because I have one. It's little. It's on a dirt road. Had it for a long time. Just so you know, I don't have a mansion in Southampton. But
always say yet.
That's right. But so the main things that we have done, because when you're not there and something happens, it's all so sad. You can have lots of flooding and all kinds of bad stuff. So what we have done actually is we put a glycol mix in the, instead of turning the whole thing off. You can turn the whole thing off, drain the house, drain the toilets, put antifreeze in the toilets, all kinds of things like that where you're just saying, nope, this house is going to get cold, it's going to freeze, and we're just going to see you in the spring.
Yeah.
But there are other ways where you're trying to keep it so it's at 50, or you want to make it so that you're keeping things more stable than that. And in that case, what we have done is put a glycol mix in the heating loop. And what that means is it's antifreeze, just the same type as you put in, well, not the same, but that you put in your car. And it makes it so that even if the electricity goes out and everything goes to nothing, you won't have your heating system, you know, exploding.
How low does a glycol prevent water from freezing, or does
just
the glycol
like your,
itself
just
freeze?
Like your just like your car
okay.
like never in New England
we use those systems a lot in actually heated driveways as well and actually radiant heat across so it's basically it's a liquid that won't freeze basically
got
when
it
mixed properly.
And we did another thing. We have this house has a dirt floor in the basement, okay, so it's really a shack, and it has
will you stop trying to
I'm
make
trying.
It acceptable
I'm trying
to,
I am home. I'm really embarrassed about it.
Okay, so keep go keep poor mouthing.
All right, so what we did is we put we had the plumber make it so that there were valves at the low point in the basement because the basement's not finished, of course, and so you can drain it by just, and they're these long, they're not PEX, but they're semi-flexible. And so we really made it so that you can drain all the liquid in the house really easily. Actually, because it's a dirt floor, you don't even need a bucket. It just drains away. But if you had a regular floor, you'd use a bucket and get it all empty and it's easy squeezy. And then when you start up again, you just close them and turn the main on. Oh, shut off the main and then you drain everything.
Got it. Yeah, because it'll go in for a long time. What have you?
I was going to say one thing too, which is in general, the area between the main shutoff and the wall, if there's any gap between there, you're going to want to put either heat tape or something on that, because if it freezes before your shutoff, you're coming in from the town or the whatever the municipal
municipality
is.
So, right, then you got a bathtub down there.
Oh,
more like a pool.
Yeah.
More like a pool.
Well, Bring it on is what I'm saying, and I'm definitely calling Mass Save. I need to do that.
You totally do. I can't believe this. After all the time we've known you, we thought we knew you, Bruce.
Well, I'm a hypocrite.
Yeah.
And you know that about me. Thanks a lot, Ed.
Thanks, Ed. We appreciate it.
We'll have you on three times.
Thanks so much for listening. If you want to learn more about S&H Construction, you can find us at shconstruction.com.
And if you want to learn more about my services, I'm at bruceirving.biz, B-I-Z.